TNG Radio,
where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
Why does God allow suffering? Can anything good come out of pain and suffering in this world? Hi, Alex McFarland here. Welcome to another edition of Truth for a New Generation. You know, famously, Helen Keller, who was blind, said that the world is full of suffering, but the world is also full of the overcoming of suffering. In today's program, we're going to talk about one of the perennial objections against the gospel, which is pain, suffering. What people often feel like is injustice. It's just not fair. Why have I been dealt a hard hand in life? And very often I dialogue with skeptics who say, well, there's pain and suffering, therefore there must not be a God, or certainly not the biblical God who's compassionate and loving. And we're going to talk to somebody that has had a cross to bear in life, and somebody who's, in my opinion, had a real painful pathway to walk that many people probably couldn't handle, but he's handling it well and he's doing it for God's glory. But first, let me read a little bit from Psalm 107. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and the west and from the north and the south." And it talks in Psalm 107 about wandering in the wilderness, being hungry and thirsty and almost fainting. And it says that God's people cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and God delivered them out of their distress. Verse 7, "He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works he does for the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Well, God is our provider. God is our source of joy and strength. And God is our source of sustenance in all of life. And I believe somebody that personifies that so well, trusting in the Lord, is a friend that I have met in West Texas. His name is Rowdy Cogdill, and I'm in his business right now, which is
the Night Owl Espresso and Tea Bar inside of the Ghost Horse Gallery here at 506 Main Street in Silverton, Texas.
West Texas. And I've got to ask you about your name. All right, your name is Rowdy Luke Cogdill, right?
Yes, sir.
Luke being your middle name. Tell me about your first name, Rowdy.
A lot of people ask me that. They asked if I'm wild, and I'm a little bit wild, but my parents were going to call me, I'm trying to remember what, Billy Rank and Rowdy Bill or something along those lines, and I guess just the Lord had told them to name me Rowdy, and not exactly sure how that name came to be, but I guess that's what they decided. I was real crazy when I was a young kid.
Well, how did you get into the coffee business, running the coffee shop here in Silverton?
Well, I started about 3 or 4 years old drinking coffee with my grandfather, Billy Witten, who has recently passed away about a year or two ago. And he would always take me to the coffee shop, and I'd listen to all the older people that would, you know, start stories and swap gossip and everything and tool you. So once I started getting older and learning, you know, the coffee trade itself, after I graduated from high school here in 2013, I was given the great opportunity to go down to Austin, Texas, to the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And I studied down there for 3 years. And for two of those 3 years, I worked at the on-campus coffee shop that blind and low vision students run. And I wasn't even thinking anything about it, about opening my own coffee shop, really, until after I graduated, and I thought that was something I would be really wanting to do here. And I was given the great opportunity, and it was a God wink or a godsend. Mm-hmm. From their names are Tammy and Hunter Penn. They moved here about 6 or 7 years ago from Colorado, and Tammy wanted to open an art gallery here, and when I was getting ready to fly back to school for my last year at the blind school, Tammy asked me, well, Rowdy, what do you want to do when you get through at the Texas School for the Blind? And I told her, well, I'd really like to open my own coffee shop someday. And she then asked me, would you like to open a coffee shop in my art gallery that I'm about to open in Silverton? I immediately told her, that sounds like a great idea. That's something I've always wanted to do. So the coffee shop's been open since August of 2016, and that's the same time that I started working for the Silverton Volunteer Fire Department here.
And what do you do with the Volunteer Fire Department?
I am the Silverton chaplain. I pray for our men and women that are on the fire department, pray at meals when we have our business meetings. I pray for each and every one of us as we go out on a call, and then we try and pray for each other when we get back from a call. I also work with the command vehicle. I do mainly radio traffic for our fire scenes, work with our water tender, which is a 5,000-gallon tank semi-truck with water, traffic control, just kind of just some not, I guess, high-risk jobs. I'm on the, I guess you could say, the behind the scenes is where you could find me, is where I would be.
Sure, sure. For those just tuning in, we're speaking with Rowdy Cogdill here in West Texas, and I want to talk about your blindness, because you operating a business, you being a chaplain for the local fire department, I mean, those are wonderful things, and yet you've got a physical challenge, your blindness, that, you know, many people would find debilitating, and they maybe wouldn't even try, and yet you're doing more and busier than most sighted people I know.
Oh, yeah. And it started, you know, when I was a lot younger. When I was in high school, well, let me back up a little further. I was born January 28th, 1994, to Billy Rank Cogdill and Toy Cogdill in Amarillo, Texas. And when we moved back to our ranch, the Tool Ranch, I grew up and I was considered legally blind because I was had detached retinas and all sorts of different eye conditions.
By what age were you considered legally blind?
I'd say about 4 months.
Oh my goodness. Well, hey, we've got to take a break. I want to hear this. Folks, you're listening to Truth for a New Generation with Alex McFarland, our very special guest. Rowdy Luke Cogdill. We're going to come back and talk about why God allows suffering. Can good come out of suffering? And how do we manage the things in life that we find to be painful? Stay tuned. TNG is back after this.
America today is like a patient struggling to live, yet is being forcibly euthanized by her, quote, doctors. The life force within the patient fighting for survival is the honest citizens like yourself. The team of, quote, caregivers are the local and national leaders actually contributing to the demise of the patient. The economy is crashing. Crime is exploding. The Constitution is being abolished. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late by Alex McFarland, has one single purpose: to get you prepared. Learn the real source of America's current problems that no one else is talking about, and what you can do now to face tomorrow, regardless of what tomorrow brings. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and local Christian bookstores.
Where in the Word are you with Bill Campbell, inspiring your read through the Bible in 90 days.
Do you know your destiny? Now, I know that sounds kind of impossible, but there's one who does, of course, God. There's a book that tells how he can reveal it to us called the Bible. Where in the Word are you? If you join us today, we're going to look at common people, folks like you and me, Jacob and Rachel, Joseph. In Genesis, as we look at these people, we'll be learning how God revealed their destiny to them and the part they needed to know. He wants to do the same, I believe, for you and for me. Come join us at scriptureawakening.com.
Where in the Word Are You is produced by Scripture Awakening, inspiring you to read, study, and live God's Word. Learn more and donate at scriptureawakening.com.
For apologetics resources, books by Alex McFarland, and to find out where Alex is speaking, visit alexmcfarland.com.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here in West Texas, talking to a new friend I've made, Rowdy Cogdill, and he's talking about dealing with blindness. And let me just say this, I do want to hear your story, but let me commend you, Rowdy, because you seem to represent the Lord so well. You've just got joy about you, and you're not, I've never heard you say anything about being angry with God or, you know, why me? So many people seem to go that way. And good job, brother. You represent Christ well, even in spite of your disability.
Well, I appreciate that. And it was not always like that. Whenever I was a lot younger, I used to always, you know, I hate to say this, but I used to not really cuss God, but I would complain to God, why is it me? Because I realized I was the only legally blind person in my family. But when I started looking at my dad's dad, his name was Billy Cogdill, my grandfather, he had polio when he was about 19. And when I came to know him, I would always see him in a wheelchair, and that polio had taken over, I believe, 90% of his body. And I never saw him complain about it. Did he complain about it before, whenever he was younger? Oh, yeah. I know there's a lot of people that can complain about stuff, but whenever you have the love of your family and friends and my fiance, you know, like Taylor, she understands it's God that has put me in this position, and she's okay walking by my side for the rest of our lives, you know, with this. And going back to Papa Billy, you know, like I said, I never saw him complain. He would always praise the Lord for, you know, being alive every day. And that was something him and my dad would be the two people I look up to.
Speaking of your dad mentioned that you had, since childhood, probably had 50 or more surgeries on your eyes. Do you remember those when you were a little bitty child having to go through those procedures?
I'm 27 years old, and ever since I was 4 months old was when my first surgery was, and I've been through probably 50 or 60 eye surgeries. And halfway through that, you know, I would, like I said earlier, I was complaining to the Lord, why'd I have to put up with this?
Now, of what you can see, how clear is it?
Have you ever seen a Dairy Queen straw?
Not that I'm aware of.
They're like the big blue straws that are big enough you can drink like a Dairy Queen Blizzard out of. They're about size of your, I'd say your pointer finger, or maybe a little smaller than that, where you can look through the straw and see out the other end. And then you put a piece of cellophane over the end of that straw, and then poke a hole right in the center of that straw, of the cellophane that you put on the end of the straw. And that's about how I can see.
You know, that's a very, I can picture that. That's a very good description. So looking out of a straw and then a tiny little hole there. So, I'm just curious, are you able to drive? You don't drive, do you?
Would you like the legal answer or the not legal answer?
Well, I know out here in West Texas, there's a lot of farmland now. Rowdy, where I grew up in rural North Carolina, I was driving by the time I was about 10. So out on the farm, things are a little bit different, I do understand.
Yes, sir. Well, that's a lot of people don't understand. But like I was saying earlier, during my elementary to high school years, up until 2015, you know, I'd probably had about 30 or 40 surgeries maybe by then. I'm not exactly sure. We've lost count since I've had so many. I was never 20/20. My vision was good enough. I could see the road a little bit, but I couldn't see anything probably 20 or 25 feet away, I guess, or something along those lines. It may be not that far, but I could read decals on the side of cars.
So let me ask you this. At what age did you accept Christ as your Savior?
Oh, I can't remember. I remember it was a young age. I was probably about 9 or 10, I think, when I accepted the Lord, I believe. My mom would probably know exactly the day, because we probably have it down in our paperwork at the church or in our records at home, but I think it was about 9 or 10.
Did you ever pray and ask God specifically to heal your vision?
Oh, it's been an ongoing deal. I still ask him to heal my vision every day. The struggle is real, and I know that sounds, I don't know if you'd say cliche, but the struggle is definitely real for not just me as a blind person, but I have a lot of blind friends that talk about the struggles that they're going through, and I just tell them that you need to put your love and trust in the Lord and your family as well. Number one's the Lord, second's your family. Don't ever give up. That's the number one thing I want to let people know. You know, there's times I thought, I've had bad days like where I don't even want to go out and do anything. But I know that the Lord's always with me. My grandfathers are with me. You know, a lot of people that I trust in life are with me here on earth or up in heaven. Definitely Taylor being, you know, just a phone call away, and she comes over to see me every so often. That's another reason I keep myself going, because I want to be that wonderful husband in the future for her.
Amen. Let me ask you this. At what point did you begin to understand that maybe your blindness is actually something God entrusted to you, and you could use it to glorify Him, and you grew through it?
I'd have to say it'd probably be around right after high school, or right during high school, actually. There's a program that's no longer up here in the Panhandle. It was called SWEEP, and what it was called was Summer Work Experience and Ethics Program. And it was for a lot of blind and low vision students, as well as people that had other types of disabilities. And it was put on by the state. And the third year that I was in that program, I worked at the Hampton Inn & Suites in Lubbock. And, you know, I was just doing my job. I was there as maintenance, you know, just learning from the people that actually worked there. I was working the front desk one day, and the manager came and asked, can I see you in my office here in a few minutes, Roddy, once you're through up here? And I was thinking, yes, ma'am. And after she walked off and went to her office, I was thinking, oh, boy, what'd I do to make them mad now? But, you know, I didn't know if it was something I didn't do or what. But when I went back there and talked with her, she basically, at that point, gave me a job opportunity that I would think I would never have been given. She offered me a full-time position down in San Antonio at the Ambassador Suites in their maintenance department. Now, as you're talking to me today, I've owned my own coffee shop, so that means I didn't take it. But I was very appreciative and honored that I was even considered for something like that, because I was just barely out of high school and didn't think I'd be getting a job offer that soon. And I didn't even put in a resume.
Wow. Hey, hold that thought. We've got to take a brief break. Folks, stay tuned. Truth for a New Generation is back after this.
I know the year has been a hard one, one we'd all like to forget.
For the first time since the COVID shutdowns, it's the 2021 Truth for a New Generation National Apologetics Conference. Worldviews, the battles you must win. Featuring Dr. Alex McFarland, Dr. Frank Turek, Sandy Rios, and E.W. Jackson talking about raising children to come to Christ and stay with Christ in the midst of the woke movement, critical race theory, and Marxism in America. October 15th through 17th in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Conference and concert by the Birdsongs. TNG 2021, October 15th through 17th. Register at alexmcfarland.com.
Are you tired of liberal agendas ruining our country, but you don't know what to do about it? That's why Truth and Liberty Coalition was founded. We want to equip you to take back our country and impact the world. Here's how we do it. We educate through broadcasts, conferences, and our website with resources that inform, equip, and motivate. We unify by collaborating with like-minded organizations like the Family Research Council, the Family Policy Alliance, and My Faith Votes. We mobilize by providing practical tools you can use to impact your local community. As Christians, we are called to make disciples of nations. Together, we can change the course of our country for good. Join Truth and Liberty to connect with believers and organizations who not only want to see a change in our nation, but a community that is actually doing something about it. Join us online for our broadcast and subscribe for relevant updates on our website, truthandliberty.net.
In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
We're back on Truth for a New Generation, and before we resume our conversation with Rowdy Luke Cogdill, I do want to remind everybody on my website, which is alexmcfarland.com, my speaking schedule is there. We've got a lot of really, really great things coming up, all sorts of opportunities around the country. We're doing biblical worldview and apologetics, and of course, we'll be at First Baptist Church of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, October 15 through 17, with a big Truth for a New Generation conference. And the theme of that conference is going to be reaching millennials and younger. Churches all across the country are asking, how do we reach the 20-somethings? Well, we're going to be talking about that. So keep us in prayer. And of course, my book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late, it's available everywhere. And we encourage your prayers, your support, and we encourage you taking a strong stand for Christ, because our nation surely does need the gospel right now. Well, if you've been listening, we're talking with Rowdy Cogdill. We're in West Texas, and he's been talking about the blindness that he has encountered since he was 4 months old. But again, I want to say your witness for Christ and your the joy you radiate as walking with the Lord, Rowdy, I mean, that's just such a positive thing. And I felt like your story would be encouraging to a lot of people, because in one way or another, we've all got stresses. We've all got burdens we bear. Most people don't have the burden of blindness. But again, did you feel like you made a choice? You said, look, I'm gonna honor Christ. I'm not going to get mad at God. How did you make the decision to joyfully go forward with the Lord, even in spite of your blindness?
It was, like I said, with my grandfather and my dad and a bunch of my family. I used to be upset about it, but once I started realizing my full potential after the little deal at the high school, you know, going to that program and then going through the Texas School for the Blind, and then in 2019 getting to go and get my seeing eye dog, Trevor, who was a black lab, and going to that school, having a seeing eye dog is eye-opening to a lot of people, and to me, it's kind of like a conversational piece. Mm-hmm. And they ask, well, what does Trevor do for you? And he helps me get around town, go around obstacles, keeps me from walking out in front of cars whenever there's a certain danger. And just knowing that I have the love for the Lord that I do and growing up in a godly family, that is my biggest deal. I'd like to share with people, you know, just as well as for the blind community, there's a lot of things that people think blind and low vision people can't do, but I'm here to tell them, you just give us a little time, and the technology that is out in the world today, it may be a little more difficult for us to get jobs as our sighted counterparts. Like my, I do woodworkings here, a little bit here and there, as well as leather work. But they have technology such as talking tape measures, braille compasses, and stuff that a lot of people don't realize because they're more focused on what we can't do. But I'm here to tell a lot of people we can do a lot of stuff. Just give us a little bit of an opportunity.
Can good come out of suffering? Have good things come into your life and into your heart through your suffering?
Oh, definitely. I definitely think so, Alex. It's a wonderful thing. You know, my blindness, I've had a lot of suffering when I was a lot younger. Like I said, I was low vision. I'm not allowed to drive just due to my visual impairment and my being legally blind. You know, and that was the most heartbreaking thing for me, is because I can't drive certain places. I can't go hang out with my friends. I'd always have to get rides from people. But I looked past that, and you know, with the love of the Lord and just doing certain things that I'm able to do now, I look back and think, why in the world did I ever complain to God about this?
For the person out there who needs to make the decision to trust the Lord and really give their burden to Christ, you've got a verse, Isaiah 43:2. I saw it on the shirt you wear as chaplain of the fire department. Let me read this verse. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overtake you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze or harm you." You know that the water won't overtake you, the flames won't hurt you. That Isaiah 43:2, that's a great verse about how God protects us, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it definitely is. It's one of the verses that I cling to. I know it's people tell me that I need to quit thinking about the fire department so much, you know, not making it a staple of my life, but you know, I've got a wonderful group of men and women that helped me through the fire service here in town. But that verse means a lot to me because I can take it back to when I was in elementary, junior high, and that kind of makes me think of my past. He's been with me every step of the way, and that verse, when they brought it back from College Station, whenever they first made our logo, I thought, that is the best verse that I can think of, and that's what I want to live my life by, is making sure that everybody knows that does not matter if you what kind of disability you have, what's going on in your life. You may have just lost a loved one. You may have lost your mother. You may have lost your father. Doesn't matter what you've got. Just keep your trust in the Lord and your family and your friends and surround yourself with good people, and you will come out of it A-okay.
Rowdy, that's a great word. And to everybody listening, let me say some of the reasons. We don't fully know why God allows all of the things in life. But if we will trust our situation with Jesus Christ, all right, first of all, suffering very often shows us how much we need the Lord. And maybe God in His mercy allowed suffering into this or that person's life to humble them so that they would turn to Christ. And like in the case of Rowdy Cogdell, you know, suffering deepens our desire for God and causes us to put our trust in the Lord. Suffering comes with opportunities for ministry. You know, I read a verse by Robert Browning Hamilton. It said, "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but oh, the things I learned when sorrow walked with me." If we allow it, suffering and challenges can do wonderful things to bring our heart to Jesus Christ and our witness to a watching world. God bless you, folks. Keep your eyes on Christ and take a bold stand for truth.
TNG Radio is made possible by the Friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.